Good morning, all. Are ye all wide awake yet? Okay. You should be well after that. Thank you very much, Dick, and to our musicians once again who are performing beyond the call of duty. It's just super to start this way this morning. To try and explain a little bit about what we hope to try and do this morning. Over the course of the weekend, you will have attended lots of listening things. You will have attended some workshops where you will have had the chance perhaps to have some sort of input. But all of what you have heard has kind of been around the theme of hope and kind of a question around what's next and what are the next steps for all of us as part of the NJPN. But before we do that, one question I did ask you on Friday was I asked you to think of something that lifted your heart during the week. And you very carefully and promptly obliged. And I'm wondering if for a moment or two, you might just take a moment to think what during this weekend lifted your heart, just for a moment or two. Maybe it was a conversation that you had across the dinner table, because I had many of them and got lots of the best advice. For me, some of it was in meeting a whole new group of people that I hadn't met before. These are just some of the things. Maybe you might just turn to a person beside you or a person close to you just for a moment or two and say, do you know what I got this weekend? Or do you know what lifted my heart this weekend? I know there's one lady out there and I said I might call on her, but if she puts up her hand, I'll ask her. If she doesn't, I won't, kind of. So maybe just for a minute, you'll just turn to the person beside you or somebody close to you and just say, this is what lifted my heart this weekend. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, so I'm not going to be as rude and say, now that's enough sharing. But maybe if there are one or two people in the room who might like to give us an idea of maybe just one or two things that lifted their heart this weekend. And the two lads are beginning to run frantically. I don't think they thought they'd have to run this early with a microphone, but they're up and at it. So if you'll just wait until the microphone comes to you and speak clearly and hold it close enough to your face. This is being recorded, so to be sure that everybody at home catches what's said and what's heard, it is important. So is there anybody who would like to share on anything at all that lifted their heart during this weekend? Okay, we have one young lady here. Ah, yes, the person I met has put her hand up this morning. This is good. Oh, Caroline, that's okay. There you are, you're live now, you're broadcasting.
Thank you, I'm Carolina, and I wanted to say that what lifted up my heart was actually during the workshop about seed sovereignty. And when we were told that through all of the letters and emails that people were sending, the UK representative at World Bank actually listened to all of these letters and agreed to talk to CAFOD about this issue, which lifted up my heart because it shows that we actually can do something, even on a scale of, you know, representatives at the World Bank, which to me just sounded amazing.
Thank you so much indeed. Definitely a note of hope. Just behind you there, there's another lady.
I can't really escape. I'm Sue, who met Brian.
I met her walking around earlier and I said...
And the thing that lifted my heart, apart from all the other wonderful things about this weekend, was seeing the tree that was planted 20 years ago and seeing it as a flourishing, beautiful plant. And it just lifted my heart.
There you go. Thank it's you. Lifted mine and ours now as well. And there's a gentleman behind you there again.
Hello.
Hi.
The witnessing of the, or rather the testimonies of the witnesses in the film last night from the four continents.
From the letter.
Really touched me and rose me above everything I ever knew about ecology and environmental concerns. Yeah.
Super. Thank you very much indeed for that. There's quite a few people, I think, who've seen it lots of times would have found something from it. There's somebody there, Mary, and then there's another lady at the front. I better look to this side of the room as well.
Oh, hello. I read the headline in The Observer, and I think it will lift everyone. Sunak and Starmer are warned, don't dump your green pledges.
Okay, I like the sound of that. Okay. That's a headline to capture headlines. Thank you, Mary.
Hi there. Yeah, Meriel Woodward from Caritas Westminster. I go back to Christine Allen's terminology with momentum generous, and it's been really heartening to hear people coming from all different organisations, all different passions, but a recognition that if we march together with those differences, then we can make change. So, yeah. And the other thing that's been good for me as well is where I may if I feel strongly about something and I come across backlash, it's okay. John Battle said
you're safe.
Keep going. There's lots of friends around that will support you and be there.
Okay, thank you. That's perfect. Well done. Is there anybody else? We'll just take one or two more. I'm just conscious that there was a number of people there. Trace.
All the input on sustainable development goals and on the other topics, I've become more aware of my own power and the power of each person to do and to be and to bring change. So I'm very grateful for this.
Thank you indeed, Therese. Was there this two people there? We'll just take those two people, and then, because so far everything we've heard is hope building on hope. Yeah, go ahead there.
My great joy has been to be able to bring my two grandchildren with me to share in this wonderful conference.
And they sat there beside you?
They're sitting there behind me.
They're just there waving. And it is your great joy to bring your granddad, am I right? Both nodded well. Good answer. Thinking on your feet. I like this. Well done. Thank you so much indeed for that. That is indeed joyful and very hopeful.
So I think the big thing is the sustainable development goals. I think it's like a hidden secret. I didn't realise that the British government had signed up to the development goals, because never talked about. I think I vaguely remember from a previous conference, but in general, we're just unaware. I think it's something that's worth pushing to say, actually, you have signed up this, deliver. Because I think they're going to be quite happy to drop it, but I think it's something we can use and say, well, actually, this is what you have agreed, send someone to talk about them, and actually, and if not, why not? I think it's something we should use.
Thank you very much indeed. Okay, look, we'll hold that sharing, because you're going to get a chance to share with each other a little bit later on. I have to be honest, I'm really kind of anxious and nervous about this morning, because it's okay when you've had time to prepare something and script it, you come in and you do your piece and you go. But when you turn up at something like this in the morning and it's not quite scripted and you're trying to gather the strands and take what you can from what you've heard and try to encourage people to share so that we can kind of, because essentially this morning is kind of in two parts. The first part really is to try and create within ourselves a strong statement coming out of this conference, maybe in the form of a commitment, so that anybody who is reading about this conference later on or watching will know that the conference did all of this work, but at the end they have a message for all of us, and that message might be inspired not just by the inputs that you sat and listened to and the workshops you attended and contributed to, but the conversations that you've had, and of course what the conversations you're going to have when you go back home, trying to explain what I've learned, what I've heard, what gave me hope, what lifted me during the weekend. So that's part of it. So the first thing we're going to try and do this morning is just in a short space of time, just to take a little bit of time to kind of go through the headlines of some of what was heard, so that when you come to have your conversations, you'll say, I'm glad you brought that up. I remember that now. I'd have forgotten it if it didn't come up again. Because what I've done over the last while, Barbara has prepared a slideshow, and it's really just for you to watch quickly, and it will give you some instance of, or some idea of the Sustainable Development Goals. And over the course of the weekend, I must have gone through about two or three pens writing down what I could catch up with people saying. And I have learned so much from so many over the course of the weekend. It wasn't just an exercise for me to capture and witness what I'd seen and heard, but it was also a case of trying to capture it so that I could kind of retell some of the story, because it was John Battle said you need to be a storyteller and a communicator if you want to be an activist as such. So what I'll do is I'm going to hand over to Barbara, and Barbara might explain a little bit about what she has done.
I won't say very much, because there are rather a lot of slides and we're going to put them through quickly just to remind you of the goals, the sustainable goals, to remind you of our first evening with Brian, And of the folder you have with all the goals in that folder, I think the important thing I will say is that we can't all do everything. We can only do one or fulfill one or work with one or two of the goals. But in doing that, we are helping all the others. And you will see when the slides come on that the important logo from the United Nations is of a circle, and all the goals are equally important. The numbering is not in order of importance. All are equally important and all hang together. So if we work on one of them in our church or our home, we are helping all the others. But it's important that we're aware of that. So we put them on. There are goals, the targets are included, or some of them are. Just to remind you, and hopefully to enthuse us all for our work when we go home. Thank you. Thank you.
There was so much in that, and it's not lost on me, I think anyway, that the silence in the room as the SDG spoke so loudly from above here, adding to what we've already learned. And just to try and recapture maybe some of what we heard from Christine and from John Battle, Christine reminded us, as did Barbara, that we actually can't do it all, and that sometimes standing backs allows the new to emerge. She posed a big question. Should we? Can we? Will we? Should we? Yes. Can we? Yes. Will we? Is the political will there? Is there a will? That's the question. One worry of Christine's was that the ability to localise the SDGs, making the grand plan relevant to all, is a difficult ask. She reminded us too that the concept of leaving no one behind is deeply theological, but is one of the underpinning principles of the SDGs. That we must reflect on what do we bring to the conversation and what can be my contribution in that conversation. The concept of growth with all boats rising equally, she told us, wasn't true, and we all agreed with her. How can we hold governments to account was one question she had. She did say, though, that business had made great strides in incorporating the SDGs into their work, and they were to be congratulated for this. We saw how Caritas Brazil, in the video that she had shown, that they were quietly putting Laudato Si into action, that they were living with harmony in nature, and they were hearing and heeding the cry of the poor and the cry of the earth. They were very articulate in their mission. Not just about focusing on the current emergency, but taking time to consider how we got here. She reminded us of powerful, courageous advocates. When I give food to the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why they have not got food, they call me a communist, if you remember what she said. Ringing true of something like what Father Dominic had said yesterday, that hope and faith are not about separating devotion from social justice. Caritas Brazil takes this one step further when they focus on the person as we continue to focus on the earth. Christine referenced CAFOD's new strategy, Our Common Home, with four planks: integral ecology, creating a culture of encounter, understanding that we are all critical agents of change and that we all share vulnerabilities. We must model integral ecology, and in this way we can sincerely recognise a radical conversion of the heart. And she had kind of radical in big letters. In advocating, we must look at ourselves. We must reflect on how we respond, which is similar to what John Battle told us. We must consider who our allies are and how we might engage. Who are the voices that we listen to? And importantly too, we must consider who are the voices that we don't listen to or won't listen to. We must recognise that we have a power, like Therese told us earlier this morning when she said her heart was lifted up by realising she has a new power. And that in that there is this hope, that it is liberating to realise that you have a power, and that we must invest in each other. and that we must consider the SDGs as an encouraging partnership. The planet, the person, and the dignity of both must be reflected in all that we do. We can be the well of, or we can be the water in our own wells. That's how she put it, and that kind of struck me as something coming from me as a step forward, that we must recapture the sense of witness. And one thing that struck me about what Christine said was that she reminded me too that celery really is the devil's toenails. Which I think she's right. In the afternoon, we heard from John Battle, whose encouraging words reminded us that advocacy is faith in action. He told us unequivocally that that we should network even more. Think of your own role within the network, and that crucially, now is the time to do it. This was his message, at least this is what I heard. He spoke to us of so many communities who are under pressure, and that we must pay attention to politicians, especially as some politicians feel that we are kind of in the way, that they're the ones we need to pay most attention to. John read the headlines from the various papers yesterday, all claiming that greening the economy kind of loses elections, so that we should roll back from that. Mary this morning read her headline, which said completely the opposite, which I was glad to see. So he was calling on us yesterday to remain steadfast and to remain resolute. The power of the media, he commented, is quite unmatched at the minute, but needs to be challenged. And it prompts in us a fear, a conflict and a division, and that we have to resist this, that this actually can happen and does happen as a result of what we're hearing. It appears too that facts are not enough to persuade. As Christine said earlier, that the willing part is missing. John repeatedly told us that advocacy is not lobbying. He spoke of both Laudato Si and Fratelli Tutti as two manuals for living today, and that they start with the poor. He asked us to consider three types of action: charity, and he specifically referenced the VDP. He asked us to speak of empowerment, and he specifically referenced CAFOD and how they do the work. That's not to the exclusion of all others. But he also said that the third leg of that stool was advocacy, and he said that is being squeezed out. He gave us a definition of politics that I love, being the art of sustaining an image of confidence from one day to the next. I thought that was lovely. And the word image is the one that sticks, that it's not actually the reality. And in fairness to him, he was honest enough then to say, do you know, if I got up in the morning and survived the 9 o'clock news, the 1 o'clock news, the 5 o'clock, the 9 o'clock, got back into bed, that was a good day. And I can understand that in one sense, that this is kind of how he felt that he was living his life at the time. The long-term view is reducing politics to performance over principle. And that in there is a disconnection that we must try and challenge. That our rights to protest, to strike and to speak freely are being slowly curbed. And that that language plays a very important part, as we are being called like social justice warriors, which Julian referred to when he was speaking about Brian Davis yesterday. And people, their heart leapt when they heard the word, but they were being used in different ways. Activists need to be storytellers and communicators, which is true, but there is hope. Advocacy works to change structures, John told us and assured us. We need a church that takes a risk. We need consistent and sustained action. The one-off email, the one-off chat doesn't happen. Advocacy is about building relationships. We cannot stay on the sidelines, he said. He has urged us to get stuck in. I don't quite know how, but this is, I like the motivation behind it, and I like the message. Effective advocacy often, he said, comes in the form of a handwritten letter. It's the one letter that gives him a fright if he was a minister. Effective advocacy, he told us, involves research, creates conversations, looking to who has the power. And he gave the example of sourcing the mental health or the funding for mental health facilities for the elderly and for the teenagers. And he looked to first see, well, who are the people that can facilitate this and how do we get them? And he told the story of having a meeting, and then they moved the meeting and he bussed people to it. And it was a very powerful story that stuck with me as a way of advocating, but creating a relationship where there was a successful outcome at the end. He also spoke about the power of an election manifesto and holding MPs to account when they call, having your message ready to say, oh yeah, here you are, I have a couple of things I'd like to say. I thought that was good. He also said that if you don't have to contact MPs themselves, often it can be helpful to maintain a relationship with their staff, with the researcher, with the person who was close to the MP who prompts them about this next step. That building relationships is key, that that's the way. He asked us, and he gave us that lovely image of tying down the public representative, like Gulliver Travel is tied down by 100 ropes. I just think that that image in itself is so powerful. Can we widen our list of alliances? Can we encourage new spaces for conversation and participation, like a citizens' assembly, or contributing to a greater form of deliberative democracy, making hope possible, rather than making despair convincing? I thought that was a lovely way of putting what I couldn't say easily. And then he had a few hints that I rushed to take down because they were only up for a minute. He said these are hints that he had if he was trying to advocate or create a space for advocacy. He said, craft a simple message. Speak to the heart first and then second. Stories need both good and bad characters. Repeat, repeat, repeat your message. Repeat your message. Practice framing your message your way. Use symbols. Tell the truth. Reach by advertising. Use celebrities, influencers, people who are known to you. Fight falsehoods and disinformation quickly. I thought that was really, I didn't think of that one. Because sometimes if we don't do it, it becomes a narrative. So fight it quickly. And I was reminded at dinner, and this was one of the conversations that happened at dinner time. I was talking to Ellen Teague at dinner time, and she had said something about watching the news. She's there waving in the back now. She was watching the news, and she, Sky News, and somebody was being interviewed, and she thought, that's wrong. They're actually saying the wrong thing. So she emailed Sky News thinking, I'm going to correct this wrong. So she emailed Sky News, and lo and behold, the first question that the contributor was asked was the one that Ellen Teague had emailed Sky News. So I thought to myself, I never thought of doing that. But that was a simple way of correcting the disinformation. And what John had said was the last point, fight falsehoods and disinformation quickly. So thank you, Ellen, for that. But he did urge us too that although he's sympathetic to what Stop Oil stand for and Extinction Rebellion stand for, he is urging us to continue in our non-violent ways. He told us that hope builds trust and that vision builds hope. Young people are leading and will be part of the important intergeneral conversation that we hope we are too to be part of. At Mass, Father Dominic reminded us that we are people of peace, troubled by the ways of the world. Might we take his hint to ask ourselves, when are we not at peace? And he gave us a couple of examples. He said, I'm not at peace when I learned more children will be detained. I'm not at peace when I learned that the message of reducing our carbon footprint is not being heard or heeded. But he said, we must keep going. For there is no peace without justice, and there is no justice without peace. As John Battle told us, and Father Dominic did too, we must not be on the margins, we must be a force within. And that it's tough being a Christian. And that echoes what John said when he said that we must get stuck in. He reminded us that hope saves. That hope is the virtue by which Christians move about. That the God who calls us is the strength. That we can and should walk together. Julian, when he came up to speak of Brian Davies yesterday, told us of how poor Brian, told us of his fortitude, his resilience, how his spirit was strong in him, and that how he can be the example for us and to us, and that he championed the small act. And the one message that I heard from that was that love is all that matters. But John Battle added to that and said that love must be organised. I had to think on that for a while. I wrote it down. I'm still not quite sure where that fits, but I know it means something. Somebody might tell me later. I was really moved by the prayers of the faithful yesterday as they seemed to capture a moment, referencing people, planet, peace, prosperity, partnership and prayer. One of the prayers said, will we overthrow the tables of the sellers, referencing those who deal in human misery? Are we moved, disturbed enough or angry enough to do this? John Battle reminded us that of our call to action. At some stage, we must stop fishing people out of the river and go upstream to find out why they're falling in. Christine reminded us of Micah as it is a call to listen to God, to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. On Friday, I reminded us really that we need to face up to the problems and face down to the obstacles as we all work together. Having heard all of this, what is the message that we want to send out from this conference today? Not just from what you heard on Friday and Saturday or at your workshops, the conversations that you heard. And all I've tried to do is capture a little bit of what happened during the weekend to say, you know, as you begin your conversations, you have just had a short summary of SDGs, of Christine, of John, of Julian, of Anne, and of various conversations that we've had. So maybe we were going to try and sort out groups and all that kind of thing before coffee, but you know, we're almost at the coffee. So maybe what we will do at this stage is take that moment to have the coffee. And if we came back in here at about 10:45, that's 20 minutes, that's just a little bit shorter than what was allowed, I think. But if we came back in, we might try and organise then the conversation about what will be our next steps, what will be our response, what will be the statement going out from this conference this weekend, given all that we've heard. So hold that thought and have a cup of coffee, and we'll see you at 10:45, and I'll be out there hunting you all back in. So thank you very much.